Shall we pray? Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, it is by grace that we have assembled here, and we're here, Lord, so that you might break into our lives. Because when you break into our lives, there is love, there is joy, there is freedom. So speak to us, Lord, that our lives may be assured and our lives may be spent for you. In Christ's name, amen. Good evening, 4:30 p.m. congregation, St. Andrew's Cathedral. This is my first time with you. And I caught such a wonderful picture of this congregation just by looking to my left, because you have a young music team and you have your seniors all in batik and beautiful blouses here. And I thought, what a fitting reflection of the people of God, because that's what Christ's family is like. All ages, different backgrounds, but he has taken center stage of our lives. And I realize that there are also, as Pastor Freddie mentioned, visitors here, and he said that you're more than a visitor, you're a friend. And I trust that in the service and in the refreshments afterwards, you will experience something about the love of this family. Pastor Freddie told me that you're celebrating your 6th anniversary as a congregation. So happy birthday, 4:30 p.m. congregation, your 6th anniversary. And you were planted, by Reverend John Lim. And then he passed on to Reverend Alvin Toh, and now you have Reverend Freddie Lim. I just rejoice that you have 3 distinctives as a congregation within a larger house. I'm glad because Terry is here also. So the St. Andrew's Parish Church is made up of different congregations. Each has a distinct flavor. And your flavor is that you want to build up families. That's a core value, to build up families. You have a special eye for young families with children. And then another core value is that you want to reach out. And I'm just so blessed and amazed and challenged myself that you want to plant a new congregation. You were planted by 9 a.m. congregation, Sunday morning cathedral, and then now you're thinking already that you will disciple people and plant another congregation, because whenever new congregations are planted, there is a certain energy, there is a certain urgency, and a certain briskness about sharing the good news and inviting others in. So that's your second. And the third is to develop a strong sense of community. So you had your first camp, right, this year in June. And then you have, not every congregation in the cathedral has the benefit of an overflow time with fellowship. But you actually, there's no congregation rushing in. And you can have tea, and I'm glad my own parents have found a place here, and to find that it's less hurried, and there's time to chat with one another. So it's more than a service, it's a community. And the community takes time, and I join Reverend Freddie and the leadership to invite you in. So because it's your anniversary, I thought it's a fitting time to invite you to offer your lives afresh to the Lord. It's also a fitting time, my friends, because the whole church in Singapore is geared up to reach out to others. It's called the Celebration of Hope. We are very thankful for the Year of Prayer, which is this year. Several of you might have been at the National Stadium where 30,000 gathered. Pray Singapore. And we're praying that the reign of Christ and his goodness and his power and his love is what the world needs. Those of us who know him, if that's real for you, then you know that there are many people in your world, in your circle, who need to know him. And so we're joining hands right across all the denominations, language groups, etc., that celebration of hope in May next year. I'm sure there'll be more information, but I thought by bringing you today's message so that you offer your life, it's fitting since it's your 6th anniversary, but it's also fitting because the church is geared up to be a blessing by sharing the good news. And so my topic today is total dedication. I have some PowerPoints that may help. That's my topic, total dedication. And we are struck immediately by these words from our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, can you imagine this? He is beginning a movement, our Lord. He's bringing salvation to the world. He's creating a new society. And his way of announcing it is by using these words. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Not the best marketing technique for a me first generation. You agree? Yeah, normally if somebody wants to gain your trust or win your compliance or buy a product, he wants to tell you this is good for you and this is how it'll bless you. But Jesus, speaking the truth, shows us the way to freedom. And the way to freedom is by the laying down of our life. And so he lays it very clearly that if anyone wants to follow me, he or she must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And that's why I titled the message today as Total Dedication. And he said it to all. He didn't say it to a small company. He said it to all. This is the pattern of self-sacrifice that he is taking. Already in the songs of worship, we have been acknowledging that he is the one who loved us so much, he gave his life on the cross. And this pattern of self-sacrifice is not just for him. It's for all who follow him. It's to be reproduced in our lives, the giving up of our lives for the well-being of others. This is the way to live, our Lord says, a radical denial of self-interest and concern for your own natural well-being. To take up your cross is to be prepared to put one's life on the line. You do it because of your love. You want to bring a blessing to someone else and you're willing to sacrifice your life. And he says we are to do this daily. So it's not just in some crisis situation. This attitude of living for God by serving others, this attitude is to be daily. It is to be renewed daily. It becomes the tone and manner of our lives. It's not just for special occasions. So a practical denial of our natural inclinations towards self-preservation and the care for our own interests. That's total dedication. We lay down our life. We don't preserve it. We don't cling on to our dear life and all its material comforts and securities. We lay it down, totally dedicated to Christ and his cause. So I thought I'll bring you three questions today. Why is total dedication needed? That's the first. Why is total dedication needed? And the short answer is because we live in a contested world. There's a battle going on between good and evil, between right and wrong, between truth and error. Identifying with Jesus and following Jesus is costly. So in this passage in Luke 9, Jesus, after his ministry, his public ministry, he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And many people say, "He's a prophet. You can see it. He's doing signs and wonders." You know, miracles. And his teaching has authority and he's calling us back to God. He's a prophet. Then Jesus says to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? It's got to be personalized, my friends. And so for each one of us, we're not born into the Christian family. It's a personal confession of trust and allegiance. Each one must make that at his or her appointed time. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, as often being the first to respond, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. That means you're the Messiah. You're the anointed king promised by God to put the world right. That's what he's saying. You're more than a prophet. You're the king. You're the one God promised that would put the world right and bring the world back to God. You're the one. And then Jesus says, the Son of Man. So Jesus chooses another title because whenever you think of an anointed king, you think of grandeur, power. But Jesus uses another title, Son of Man. He's the representative of the human race. And Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So, how is this king going to ascend his throne? He's going to glory. He's going to be raised in glory through suffering, through this pattern of self-sacrifice, of being rejected. Because Jesus knows that the world has turned sour. Because of sin, there is an opposition to what is right and true. And he's going to absorb all the venom of evil. He's going to absorb it on a cross. And so he says, this is how the king will rise. And therefore, those of us who follow him, we must expect and be prepared for the same opposition and hostility. I thought I should let you know that many people think that Jesus came to say, if you believe in me, you will have an easier life. That's not true. It's not an easier life because he didn't come to make us more comfortable in our present state of life. He came to transform us. He came to free us from that self-centeredness that is so much a part of our fallen nature. But our self-centeredness keeps us in jail, in prison. And the way of freedom is the way of love. And so Jesus comes and says, now I want you to know this is what's going to happen to the one you follow. He's going to be opposed. He's going to be rejected. But that's how he will attain God's purpose. And that's how he will be glorified. And what is true of me is going to be true of those who follow me. So we suffer because we identify with him. This is true, my friends, in many parts of the world. Just to give you an example, our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, there are severe blasphemy laws, and they suffer because they are loyal to Jesus. And that's true in many, many quarters of the world. So we in Singapore, we tend to be insulated. And it's the Word of God that wakes us up. And then we realize we must not shrink from being ridiculed, from being opposed. Right, the right way does not have the right of way. We'll have to stand up for it. And we could be penalized for doing so. So the way of the cross is costly. That's the point. To follow Jesus is to follow the way of the cross. And it is costly. Because the way of the cross is to make sacrifices. in order to make God's love and God's truth known. I see it, for example, I just want to give you some examples. We have a wonderful Batam Medical Fellowship, which is part of the constant witness of the Cathedral Church. So to bless, to be a blessing to the nations. It's just one example. A Project Khmer Hope will be another. There are many. I'm just thinking there are people here. And now you have special tuition for Myanmarese. Do you see? Because the way of the cross is to give up what is yours, a Sunday afternoon, a weekend, is your time. But to say, Lord, I offer my life to you. I offer my time to you. Even if I'm not in the best of health, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And that's the kind of total dedication. Are you with me, friends? And it is costly. But that's why Jesus made it clear. Total dedication is needed because the way of following me is the way of laying down your life. In Nepal, evangelism is currently outlawed. Nepal, my dear friends, is part of our diocese. It's one of the 6 dioceses God has entrusted to us. Anglican work in Nepal. And in Nepal, evangelism is now outlawed. But we have brothers and sisters. Did you know we have over 10,000 Anglicans belonging to Diocese of Singapore in Nepal? They need our prayers. And their example should encourage us. Because they go on sharing the good news, notwithstanding the laws. They're willing to pay the price because they know that in Christ there is life and life forevermore. It's life which changes our life now. Nepal, devastated by double earthquake in 2015, still rebuilding their lives. Resurrection gives them a living hope. So why is total dedication needed? Because it is costly. The way of Jesus is costly. I thought I should ask a second question. Where does total dedication spring from? Where does it spring from? To be so committed to the way of the cross, to follow this pattern of life on a daily basis, where does it spring from? And that's why I chose this story. It's lesser known, but I wanted to bring you something fresh. So here's 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. The passages can be read also in an unhurried way when you're back home. But here is a story. Now, the king is King David. So I'll just summarize it for us. King David suffers the pain of his own son in revolt against him. So the scriptures give us the truth in the real fabric of life, circumstances of life. And for a father to be opposed by his own son, that's one of the most painful experiences. David has to go through it, and the son is determined to kill the father and take the throne. So David flees from Jerusalem. He flees from Jerusalem, and those loyal to him follow him. Now he comes to the last house before the valley, the Kidron Valley, and he stands to survey who are those who are following him, who are loyal to him. He's looking out, and you have the Pelethites and so forth following him. And then come, to his surprise, a group of people called the Ittites. And Ittai is of the group called, well, all these Hebraic names, Gittites. They had just settled in Jerusalem. So in other words, they just came in. In other words, they are foreigners and aliens, strangers. They have fled their own country, Philistine, and they have now come to live in the vicinity of Jerusalem. And their leader is Ittai. And David sees Ittai and 600 of them marching. And he stops the leader, Ittai, and he says, "What on earth are you doing? You have just come. You've just arrived. How can you risk your life?" And that's what's happening, you see, because Absalom will chase down David. And there's going to be a war. And David tells him, you've just come. I cannot impose this on you. Stay back in the city where you have security. In other words, he's highlighting that actually Ittai has three choices. He can stay back and be neutral. He can give his loyalty to the new king, Absalom, or he can risk his life and follow David. And then Ittai says something which captures what I want to pass on to you. What does Ittai say? Ittai says in verse 21, Ittai answered the king, as the Lord lives, Yahweh. So he's using the name of the God of Israel. As Yahweh lives, and as my Lord the King lives, wherever my Lord the King shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be. He is throwing in his lot out of personal loyalty to Jesus. And I wanted to share with you on your 6th anniversary, more than congregational goals, more than a cause, I give you an opportunity at this service to give your loyalty to Jesus. Because total dedication springs from loyalty to a person. Personal loyalty. And Ittai, well, first he recognizes that Yahweh is God, as long as the Lord lives. And then, my Lord the King lives. He's seen something about David that causes him to trust him, to give him his loyalty. He's seen something about God's anointing. He's seen something about David's integrity. He's seen something about David's loyalty to his own men. And he says, wherever my Lord the King goes, whether for life or for death, there will your servant be. And it's just a wonderful Old Testament story of personal loyalty. Now, today, I need to point to someone who is greater than David. And the one who is greater than David is Jesus Christ. He is the greater David. And he is worthy of your personal loyalty because he died for you. This is at the very heart of our whole Christian life. It's not a new set of ethics plastered onto us. It's springing out of us because of who he is, you see. He died on a cruel cross in your place, beloved. This is God's righteousness. You know, this is how God shows his righteousness of putting us right with him. And God demonstrates his righteousness by putting our sin on his beloved son, who willingly took it because he trusted God. He trusted God that by taking our sin, he would free us. And God would vindicate him. That's how much God loves you. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, should die for me? And that's the heart, and that's the gem, and that's the power of the gospel, the good news. And God so loved you and me. And Jesus died on the cross for you and me. And then he rose again. Because that's the power of God. Death could not hold him down. Because he's the Son of God. He's God the Son come in the flesh. And God raised him from the dead and he lives. He has conquered sin and darkness and death. So you and I, when we trust in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, that's what happens. God power sets you free from the power of sin. You're free from your addictions. You're free from your self-centeredness. You're free from your revengefulness. The chains fell off. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee, is how Charles Wesley put it. Yeah. So Jesus' resurrection tells us that God has vindicated him. God has accepted his sacrifice. And there is new life, resurrection life for you and me. And he not only rose from the dead, beloved, he has ascended to heaven. God has exalted him, given him the name above every name. And he's there at the right hand of God. He reigns. It's a mystery. He's reigning. He's entered the realm of heaven. But he's with us, shepherding us by his Spirit. Both are true. By his Holy Spirit, we experience Christ with us. He's still Emmanuel, God with us, right? It's wonderful. And he's done it all because he has your name on the palm of his hand. To put it poetically, he knows you by name. And he came and he rescued you. And today, most of us here, by his grace, it's all by his grace. That's the other thing I needed to let you know. Why follow this king? Why lay down your life for this king? Because where would you be without his grace? His grace is his undeserved love. There's nothing we could do, nothing that could merit that God would remember us and God would draw near to us and God would say, trust me and I'll transform your life from now. I transform your life from the moment you believe, and that transformed life will carry over into eternity. Where I am, you will be also. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. And that's why I can call for total dedication in his name. Because of what he has done, you see. It's not whether you like the leadership of the church and so forth. Your loyalty to the body of Christ is based upon your loyalty to Christ Jesus. In fact, leaders come and go, but we keep following the Lord. And that's a leader's joy, that the people he pastors continue to follow the Lord. And so I wanted you to know that that's a question you need to ask today. How far will I go in my personal loyalty to Jesus? And to keep this life of total dedication, your love for Christ must be real, must be renewed each day. And that's why I thank God for memory verse, because it's saying to us, do your quiet time. Each day, spend time alone with God, with the Word and with prayer. The second thing I can say to you, beloved, is, it's wonderful when we pray in twos and threes. If you're here today as husband and wife, I just want to encourage you. Each day, take time to pray together. Life finally, as it turns out, is made up of small habits. Small habits regularly done change character, and characters inherit a destiny. So these are simple ways we keep our love for Jesus alive. But I have a third question. How is total dedication? The third question, if you hit the pulse, so the answer to the question, where does it spring from? It springs from personal loyalty to Jesus Christ. Now the third question. How is total dedication recovered? So another story. Simon Peter. Simon Peter thought he loves Jesus to the hilt. He really thought that his love for Jesus was unshakable. He thought it was totally dedicated. He said to Jesus, even if all the others forsake you, I'll never forsake you. He said it. But then came the arrest of Jesus. Then came the night when the power of darkness reigns, and he got frightened, and he denied the Lord 3 times. He's not the only one who denies Jesus. Am I right? We all deny the Lord at one time or another. To be totally dedicated to Jesus is to be totally dedicated to following his way. But you and I, we give in to our own cravings and our own stubbornness. Right? To be totally dedicated to Jesus is to follow him whatever the cost. But sometimes we do the calculation and say the cost is too heavy. Forget it. So all of us deny Christ in different ways at different points in time. Simon Peter too. So how is total dedication recovered? You know, when you fail the Lord, when you don't measure up to what you thought you were, there's a shadow of guilt over your life. You can do many things to try and get rid of it, but it's there. And this shadow paralyzes you. There's unreality. And there is a wound, you know, that keeps you from rising. So Simon Peter, after he denied Jesus, can't quite recover until Jesus comes to him after the resurrection. And it's in John 21, you can read it at home. Jesus comes to him after the resurrection and simply asks him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? 3 times. And the Bible says Simon was hurt because the Lord asked him the 3rd time. Then Simon said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus accepted it. That's what I wanted you to know. As much as I have spent most of this time talking about our total dedication, I want you to know our total dedication is rooted in God's loyal love to us. Can remember this? It's very important. As much as total dedication is our offering, I want you to know Simon Peter's final offering of his life was after he tasted Christ's loyal love to him after his failure. Because Jesus' love will not let you go. It's a loyal love, you see. Your steadfast love. And Jesus comes back and restores Simon Peter. And then total dedication is activated again. So I'm not sure, friends. It's quite a large assembly. I rejoice in it. We are here today, 6th anniversary, to thank God. It started as a small group out of the 9 a.m. service. And we're here to give thanks to God because it's grown. I understand you average 260 thereabout. We give thanks to God. And in this large assembly, there will be different folk here. Some who have never put their trust in the Lord. Never committed themselves to trust him. There will be others who have trusted him, but who are no longer totally dedicated. Perhaps because they feel they failed. Sometimes you do fall in life. You take a wrong turn, you make a wrong choice, the shadow comes back. But today, the word of God, I believe, for us on our anniversary, is that all who come to him, he will receive. And by his Spirit, total dedication is your response to him. And so total dedication is recovered when you receive the loyal love of Jesus. So I summarize as we bring this to a close. Total dedication is needed because we are involved in a costly battle. Ken? You need total dedication because it's a contested battle. And powers of darkness, even, for example, people who don't know Jesus, they could oppose your loyalty to him. It happens all the time, actually. Because people who don't know Jesus will resent that you are putting him high above all else. But Jesus does say, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. The love for Christ is high above all else. When you are totally dedicated to him, then you will be dedicated to your spouse. You'll be dedicated to your parents. It's true. Him first. And when you put him first, high above all else, you become more human. You live in the image of God. And God is loyal steadfastly. So first, total dedication is needed because we're involved in a costly battle. Secondly, total dedication springs from personal loyalty to Jesus Christ. And thirdly, total dedication can be recovered because of Christ's loyal love. Now I want to finish with this verse. There's a promise of Christ. And the promise of Christ, if you hit the next slide, the promise of Christ is, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It won't be uncommon that many of us think my quality of life depends on my length of days and my material possessions. It won't be uncommon. The way we measure life, the measure of life is how long you live and how much wealth you have. It's not uncommon. But Jesus is saying the measure of life is love. That's the measure of life. And he's inviting us to find the way of freedom, find the way of fulfillment by giving your life away because you love him. And in his love, you love others. Please would you stand, invite the music team to come. Let's stand in God's presence. It helps to close your eyes for a moment because the Lord continues to speak.